RTI.
Welcome back to Postcard from Pop Brad Part 2, boys and girls. It's raining again now, which is not a good sign. If you've missed Part 1, Part 1 explained very briefly, and we'll bring you an update on where the problems are in Slovakia due to extensive heavy rain, flooding, and some of the infrastructure being quite severely damaged. There's big superstores underwater, and it's not pleasant towards the east and south of Slovakia. Out towards the west, not so many problems, because obviously it's slightly different there. But we do want to touch on and remember the tragic events over in the UK this week, which Lee's going to tell us about.
Well, yeah, it's just the shooting in Cumbria. It's just an absolute tragedy. It's a thing you don't really associate with England, but we had Hungerford and the other situation. It's quite horrific. One thing that surprises me, and I think that it's so disingenuous of the British public, is that they're saying that society has become hardened towards violence because of the media. Well, the thing is, I don't believe that for a second. I think we actually do live in a very violent society.
Well, I'll add to that this morning, and I'm paraphrasing and not quoting, although I did see this myself, where one of the people in the village where he lived was talking to one of the news channels and said that basically, I think he prefixed it by with respect, that the best thing that could now happen to the village is for the news people to leave and let them get on with their grieving. And I have to say, the trouble with 24-hour news services is they do hang about a bit and just keep talking it up all the time.
Well, yeah, it's not worth going into. We usually have a bit of a row about things like this, but I think, really, under these circumstances, we shouldn't. But suffice to say from my side that the world knows about this. The world knows what's gone on, and it sounds like the chap who carried out the shootings had a lot of problems.
Yeah, and lost
it. Without the press being there, we would have no understanding of what has gone on. The police certainly wouldn't make it clear. So we need to be there, and we need to do our jobs.
Well, anyway, on the English bank holiday Monday for May Day...
I'll tell you what, I'll sing them all.
Hang on, before we do that, we're about to go to... hang on, what are you doing?
All right.
You're not there, right. Petra's about... can we do the... Are you ready?
Who are you asking? Me or Petra?
Petra. Sorry, boys and girls. You nearly ready?
You just
walk down. No, just, towns, please. Yeah. We're trying to bring you a live update of the sort of problems that we've got here in Slovakia due to heavy rain. Petra's just putting that together for us. So if we interrupt one item, apologies in advance. Anyway, as I was saying, Bank Holiday Monday in the UK, May Day, saw none other than one of my gurus of radio, Tony Blackburn, who is a superstar.
How many pints? If I'm getting 4 pints off the Royal Oak in Birmingham, that's 5.
Cool. Can you hear that rain?
How many pints are you getting off him?
I don't know. Did you hear that noise?
I should mention him.
Can you hear that? No, you probably couldn't. But that was a huge... that's the rain coming down very heavily again. Anyway, on a station that he should have been on, which we mentioned before, which you can catch around the world, BBC Radio 2, Tony Blackburn did the top 40 countdown thingy of the 1960s, and it was horrible.
It's horrible. I'm just reading it now.
Yeah, and no offence.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, ooh, more water. That's cars just driving through water. That's the sort of noise if you heard that in the background.
I heard that.
Anyway, not Tony himself because he's a bit of a superstar, but we'll give you a quick countdown of the top 20 as to what was there. And I have to say, it's very apparent to me that the 60s spread, it's a decade like anything else. And for a big chunk of the decade, it was old people controlling the musical output. Therefore, the biggest selling singles of that decade didn't necessarily reflect on the youth that were buying them in the latter part of the decade.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think when you go through the list, you'll realise how many times the Beatles appear in it.
Well,
and that is indicative of the fact that it wasn't the youth of the day who were picking the music.
I think I need some sort of shot in the arm to read this list out, because some of it's going to be very painful to do, but I'll do it as best I can. In at number 20, Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Good song.
At 19, Two Little Boys, Rolf Harris. 18,
he should have been arrested.
From Me to You, the Beatles.
Not bad.
Telstar, the Tornadoes.
Brilliant.
That's our news coming in as I speak to you. The Next Time and Bachelor Boy by Cliff Richard at 16.
A travesty.
Sugar Sugar by the Archies. You should never play that. 15.
Bigger.
At number 14, The Young Ones by Cliff Richard. At number 13, I Remember You, Frank Ifield.
I liked him.
Stranger on the Shore in at number 12 with Acker Bilk. The Last Waltz, Engelbert Humperdinck at 11. Green Green Grass of Home by Tom Jones at 10. It's Now or Never, Elvis Presley at 9. King. At 8, Release Me by Imba.
That's a bad.
And 7, We Can Work It Out, Day Tripper, the double A side from the Beatles.
That was all right.
The Carnival Is Over at 6 by the Seekers. At number 5, I Feel Fine, the Beatles. Number 4, Can't Buy Me Love, the Beatles. Number 3, Tears by Ken Dodd.
Lovely.
At number 2, I Want to Hold Your Hand, the Beatles. And at number 1, She Loves You by the Beatles.
Terrible. Embarrassing.
That is a bit really, isn't it? That is a bit, isn't it? Anyway, the other thing that Lee's done for us is he's put together a great list of stuff that's been banned.
I know. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Hang on a minute. I'm going to have to shout, boys and girls. I've got the doors open. Petra! It's a good sound system we got in here, isn't it?
I see. It's Lee's bit, so let's get Petra in to do something else.
No, we're going
to
get Petra in to just do this quickly. Give you a quick update, very, very quickly, of where there are major issues in addition to our river outside the office here, which is about the same height as it was before, yes?
Yes.
You have to get closer, dear. Otherwise, they can't eat, and that's better. And you've got a little list of some of the places that have been severely hit by the rain, yeah?
Yes, I do.
Go on, then off you go. Where have we got big problems?
Well, if we start from Poprad going more east, then it would be Matejovce. Kežmarok is really bad, completely flooded flats and houses, Tesco and the centre of town, including ice hockey stadium.
That would be the football stadium as well, wouldn't it? Next door, yeah.
Then we have going more east, Stara Ljubovnja. That's been going on for a few days. People are stuck in their houses, can't get in and out. Mm-hmm. Helicopters helping them out. Mm-hmm. Going more, it's Bardejo. That's lovely.
That's where you go to college, isn't it?
Yeah, I just read an article that they had to evacuate old people houses. Also schools, kids had been sent home. So I'm sure they're happy, but not their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Prešov, Svidnik, and coming a little bit back, it's Levoča. Mm-hmm. Army is already helping there.
So we've got the troops out already?
Yep, yeah.
And what about the trains and stuff like that? Have we got problems with that?
Well, yeah, whoever is travelling from Bratislava to Košice, I think they will get into a lot of waiting time somewhere along the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because the trucks got flooded and they actually fell into the river.
Ouch. Not nice, is it, Lee?
It's terrible, man, honestly. Like I say, I remember the last couple of disasters there. But the thing is, like you said, the Slovaks are good at recovering and they don't, like, fly around and worry about bits of leaves on the rail tracks and things like that. They just get on and sort it out.
Yeah.
But I think this will take a little bit longer time to recover, especially
I'm sure it will, yeah.
Those that have flooded houses, you know, the water will go away, but what about the dampness and everything?
Yeah.
Well, that's it, and it's the damage to to what you own as well, isn't it? And the fact that, like Eric says, not everybody has insurance over there.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. Petra, thank you very much indeed. Bless you, as always.
Well,
okay. Any more hot news on the rest of it, bring it in.
Okay.
We've got our official weather girl.
Hot news bringer in.
Yeah, hot news bringer in. That's Petra. What I would say, though, again, just to recap, don't panic, people. Just do things calmly. The good news is we haven't had huge levels of fatalities and stuff like that. People have been airlifted out. The army are in. The rescue helicopters have been helping out. Lots of people doing nice, good things, putting sandbags up for people. A lot of community spirit going on. But people travelling
in... There is a lot of community spirit over there, though, isn't
there? That's right. Yeah. Anyway, trying to keep things slightly level as I keep looking out of the window. Every time there's a huge sort of drop of rain, I sort of look, and there's lots of people walking towards...
Have you got a canoe?
Have I got a canoe? I've got...
How's Aqua City doing? It must be missing Aqua City.
Well, no, the trouble with Aqua City is that most of the pumping services that supply heat and energy are all under the level of the river.
Yeah.
And whilst it's not in there yet, Should the river burst its banks, then there would be huge problems. But we're just keeping our fingers crossed. And as I say, I'll put you some video up, boys and girls, on the radio page. It's actually called Radio on Facebook, so you can actually see it, and we'll go from there. Anyway, let's lighten the mood a little bit to keep everybody slightly upbeat, if we can. It's almost 43 years ago that the BBC, the Suits, the guys that wore ties, said the Beatles, A Day in the Life, was not good for the British public.
That's right.
Funny that.
And they were quite right as well.
No, they weren't.
The Beatles did was good for British life.
Well, the interesting thing was that one of the most famous radio stations that broke the monopoly of the BBC in the 1960s was a station moored, well, it was a station, the station was on a boat that was moored out in the North Sea because, and this shocked so
it's
many.
It's not that Radio Caroline thing, is it?
No, it's Radio London this time. Because there was more than, there was sort of.
So all the radio stations in the world in the 60s were water gypsies.
No, they were fighting the government, as that spirit continues today. But one of the things
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely! Yeah.
The BBC probably didn't like the Beatles, A Day in the Life. And funnily enough, Radio London, when it was forced to close down on August the 14th, 1967, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, played at the end A Day in the Life by the Beatles. And they let the whole ending, which lasts sort of about 20 to 30 seconds, to be played on the air. And I still have a recording of it.
That'd be interesting to hear.
It is really, really good. And the guys that were involved in it.
Now I'm an anorak.
Yeah. Officially.
I just said that.
Absolutely. And it's really funny how the establishment did so much to try and kill stuff off, and yet on the other side, the youth was saying, get out of here! And they did get out there.
Should we tell them what else the BBC banned?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, I think he's hilarious.
John Lennon.
Who remembers George Formby when I'm cleaning windows?
When I'm cleaning windows.
That's
ding, ding.
It.
Yep.
1936. This is the lyric it got banned for. It got banned. It got banned. Because George Formby sang, the blushing bride, she looks divine. The bridegroom, he's doing fine. I'd rather have his job than mine.
When I'm cleaning windows.
And then Lola. They banned Lola.
Yeah, but not hang on. The beauty of... I love George Formby because
he was brilliant.
It was so fun. No, it's because the innuendo that George Formby used to write was phenomenal.
Yeah, always innuendo.
Stop. I knew that was... You're so predictable. And then go on. You got the next one.
Yeah, just thought over. I was doing it and you stopped me. Yeah, they banned Lola by the Kinks. Not because it was about a transvestite,
no,
but because they said the word Coca-Cola. And the BBC made them change it to Cherry Cola. And actually, if you think now, Cherry Cola fits into that song perfectly.
Yeah.
They made this song a work of genius. What about Cliff Richard getting banned? That is brilliant. I support them in everything they've ever done to Cliff Richard.
if my sister's listening to this, she will send you hate mail.
I love your sister.
Because she thinks Sir Cliff is wonderful.
He's a knob! Anyway, his song, Honky Tonk Angel, got banned in 1973.
Yeah. And then...
And then Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Hang on, here we go. Ding, 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 ding. That's how it starts. The song.
How's it go?
The instrumental at the beginning of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
It starts right, goes straight into Lucy
in the sky with. No, it goes ding, 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 ding. Lucy in the sky with diamonds. So it works.
Anyway, they banned it because Bob.
They probably banned it if I was singing it, mate.
About LSD.
Oh, dear. What was the other one where everybody was going on with a conspiracy theory that if you played the track backwards, it said something really sort of about the devil? What was that? That was a Beatles.
That was Ozzy Osbourne.
No, it was a Beatles track before that.
Which one?
I can't remember now. Somebody will tell us. Then
anyway,
of course,
the band, Love to Love You Baby by Donna Summer. Who's Donna Summer?
That's a great track.
Do you know why? honestly. I think this is a working genius. Only the BBC could do this. I wish I'd had the job, though. It counted that it contained the song Love to Love You, Baby.
Yeah.
It contained 23 orgasms.
Yeah, right. But I'm often wondered why and how they choose the people that are on these so-called do-gooding bodies. Because... there was one time where a guy complained about the early stages of Sky Digital in the UK. Because on channel, get this, channel 900 and something, he saw naked breasts after midnight, and it wasn't allowed at the time to do that.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So are you telling me this guy was sitting there flicking through the adult channels at night just to make sure something was, you know, like, come on, guys. You know, never mind. I was going to say something I didn't want to.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Paul McCartney is the next one that came in, which is crazy.
I thought this was John Lennon, but Give Ireland Back to the Irish is actually probably one of the only records that Paul McCartney recorded that had a bit of credence to it, and they banned it.
No,
do you know that Alan Freeman, DJ on Pick of the Pops, yes, had to introduce it as a record by the group Wings? Well, why did he say that if they banned it?
Because the producer made Alan do it. And if nothing else, Alan was always a consummate professional.
I like Alan, having worked
with him, I can tell you he was and will always be one of the most consummate, absolute gentleman of radio you could ever wish to have the honour to work with.
But he's still alive.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, glad to be gay, Tom Robinson.
This is another man I actually worked with, Tom, in...
I've met him, yeah.
Yeah, in Abbey Road Studios in London.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Sing if you're glad to be gay.
If you think... Glad to be gay is a statement that has some relevance to society, and so is Give Ireland Back to the Irish, whether you agree with it or not. It's a relevant political statement.
Yeah, there's a couple of others you found as well.
The BBC banned it. Banned them both.
I'm sorry for the back... Just a second, Lee. I just apologise for the background noise. Petra is on the phone, actually talking to the local police force and things to see if she can get us a final update before the end of the programme. Bless her cotton socks. She's running the entire news and travel for us today, which is kind of good. And
she's lovely. She's
still
doing a good job.
I swear I can see a little bit of bright light outside. Perhaps I'm dreaming it, but there's still a lot of water.
Maybe that's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Could be. Ebenezer Scrooge, the shaman.
Well, yeah, but this is the lyric he got banned for. I don't even understand what it means.
Well,
he created the vibe. He takes you for a ride, and if by design the party ignites like he's coming alive, he takes you to the top, shakes you around, then back down, you know, as he gets mellow. I don't even understand it. He doesn't even rhyme.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, I can understand why some of them around 1977 were a little bit miffed.
It's 1992.
No, hang on. I'm about the Sex Pistols, mate.
We've
moved on a bit because I want to get another update in for folks around the planet before before we end the show. It's one of those crazy things that when the Sex Pistols, we were talking about, sadly, the loss of Malcolm McLaren a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. You have a song like that, which was, you know, instantly negative. And yet you've got somebody like Queen doing the national anthem in a very Hendrix style. And then eventually, during the millennium, they're actually asked to play the entire, you know, Brian May was asked to play it.
Yeah.
And it's just that difference, which is so typically English, isn't it?
Well, I met all the Sex Pistols in about 1978. They were playing at a club called The Hole in the Wall in Manchester. I went to meet them afterwards. And to be honest, they were absolutely shocking. But looking back, like, what now, 30 years, they weren't that shocking. And they weren't actually that bad of musicians compared to a lot of things that go on today. But they, once again, had a statement to make. And why can't you say, God save the Queen, it's a fascist regime? A lot of people would agree with that.
Well, I wouldn't.
It's a freedom. Well, no, I'm not saying I would particularly, but certain people would. And it's a political statement from a youth movement, and I don't see why the BBC, yeah, the BBC had any right at all to... Was the Queen upset? I bet she didn't. I bet she never even...
No, I know if you watch television today, the there's often jokes made about the royal family, which annoy me. But I do respect the fact that the producer and compare host, whatever, put them in there. As long as
you're
not,
allowed to say it, yeah.
As long as they're not too tacky, that's that freedom of expression.
Right, yeah. Should we go for the big finish?
Well, yes.
I've got a choice of words. I'm so sorry. I realise now why you hesitated.
I'm just nervous. I don't know which is worse. The river coming near the edge of the banks here, or you with Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Relax.
Well, I've got to tell you a story about this. Obviously, this is the God's honest truth. You know, I am now in my early 50s, as opposed to you being in your late 60s.
Thank you.
And it's only a few months ago I realised that Holly Johnson was gay and the song was about being gay. I thought he was really masculine. I love the way he danced and everything.
You're so naive.
Don't do it. Yeah, oh, it's so exciting, man. It's one of the best records ever made.
Yeah, I know. What about it? Well, I actually don't think it is one of the best tracks ever made, but I think...
It was exciting.
But because Mike Reed, the DJ in the BBC at the time, banned it, that's what made it a number one track. I don't think it would have done as well had it just...
It did well in the clubs, mate. I was around the clubs.
Oh, yeah, it would have. It was a club track, because that was the 80s club track stuff. But it wouldn't have been...
It even made me dance.
Well, that's an interesting concept, it has to be said. let's page the lady again. Petra!
Can I just say, very quickly, though, if you think the band...
Any more news?
Glad to Be Gay, they also banned Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood because it was about being gay. Well, while Eric's talking to Petra, I'll tell you, everybody in the BBC's gay!
Yeah, right, they're not. So, any more...
What I've heard, you are a gay?
I'm not a gay!
Are you sure?
I'll just have a look and check.
Oh, okay. Actually, I know you're not because you've been touching my...
right. Stop it. Now, your partner was on about moving cars and stuff a little while ago. Does that still apply?
Yeah, moving them around to my house from what she just said.
It's my turn. Shush.
Carry on.
Okay, yes, it's still raining very heavy up in the mountains, so they said whoever is by the river, staying there, living there, whatever, should move away as soon as possible.
And the other good bit of advice, which it was good advice... Don't wait till the river's about to burst.
Yeah.
If you've got cars close to the river, get them out before it does, because otherwise the river drags them away and they're ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. thanks, Petra, for that recent update.
Thanks, Petra.
It's actually very true. A good reminder that if you are close to this sort of water problems, don't leave it till the last minute to get your car out of the way, because...
Look after yourselves. Think about what could happen.
Well, we've got... Actually, true story, we've got everything in the... And it's a bit precarious, it has to be said. Everything in here is now about a metre off the ground, including all of our computers and studio kit.
Including your stomach.
Probably. That's if I'm standing up. The... we couldn't do much about the electrics, but we have moved stuff up out of the way just to be on the safe side. We just have to keep our fingers crossed. And, sincere condolences go to everybody to the east and south of Slovakia, whereby there is a lot of damage there. There is a lot of resilience from the community here. But there's an awful lot of very nervous people around Poprad. And it's... You just got to have sympathy for those people that have fought for a very small subsistence existence in a lot of places. And, you know, now it's all being washed away. So, fingers crossed, it does. We do get some sunshine. It's supposed to be coming on its way here. But again, you see, the water's coming down from the mountains.
I think that's the problem, isn't it?
Beautiful mountains. And that's what's causing all the immense problems here. That's one big problem. Let's move on to a couple of other news items before we wrap up towards the end of the... And I just wouldn't want to do this, Lee.
I really wouldn't.
I just can't bear... there's these volunteers in America that are doing 18 months in a sealed container. No windows.
Oh, I know. Absolute madness.
Well, could you just imagine having to spend 18 months with you?
Well, I've spent 48 years with me.
Yeah. 48 years. You little liar. Apparently it's 6 men. That's probably a good idea. 3 Russians, 2 Europeans and a Chinese guy. And they're simulating going to Mars, the red planet. And that's the concept of why they're doing it, in this sort of weightless conditions, long-term together, blah, blah, blah. The only thing they've got contact with the outside world is via email, which, of course, you can do. I mean, the space shuttle does it. And
would you be able to email from Mars?
In theory, yes. It would take a long time. It could take, because the radio signal from Mars, which is what an email is, would be about 20 minutes, I suspect. 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Well, it takes snail mail to bring it from the post office up the road here. 3 days.
Well, yeah, and I do remember in the 80s, early 90s, there was a British girl who was on the space shuttle, and she was a radio ham. And if she heard your call sign, we used it, obviously the legal power to do this, every time she came over the UK, there was this huge number of radio hams who were screaming out their call sign in the vain hope that she would hear it. And she would write them all down. And I was actually sent a card. They call it a QSL card, which I'm not going there. And it was a confirmation that this lady had heard your call sign when she was up in space. And I got one of the cards, so she obviously heard me. Which was a bit of luck. But there again, I'd got a nice big area on the top of my office, which most people didn't have the privilege of having. And so you can actually talk to the space shuttle if there's a radio ham on board, Lee.
Absolutely. I think it's really good. Yeah. What amazes me about this this endeavour, though, is, you know, they're not actually going to take off. They're going to stay in Russia. That's where they're staying. They've got a medical centre on the board.
Well, they have to.
Millions. Yeah, well, they're on the ground in Moscow. They could get out and go to the doctors.
Yeah, but they've got to do some research somewhere. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, just a quick recap for you as we're at the end of the programme. It is a bit of a tricky environment travelling towards the east and south of Slovakia at the moment and some of the countries adjacent. Do check with the internet if you can before travelling. That's a good idea. We're being advised to move away rather quickly and go home. And so that's the end of Postcard from Poprad, a very wet one this week and a very nervous Eric. Thanks very much indeed for your time. We've got to go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.